Good morning. I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. Stuart Bainum Jr. is hiring, or more precisely, the Venatulis Institute for Local Journalism, the nonprofit that will own the multimedia news platform Bainum is bankrolling, is hiring, looking to fill both newsroom and business positions. And yeah, lots of employers are hiring these days, but these jobs might change how people around Baltimore get their news. Bainum, who has made millions in the hotel and nursing home businesses, tried to put together a deal last spring to buy the Tribune publishing chain that owns the Baltimore Sun. When that fell apart, he started putting together an independent news platform. He has just hired an editor-in-chief for the Baltimore Banner, and he joins us on Zoom to talk about it. Welcome to On the Record.
Thank you, Sheila.
What will the Baltimore Banner be?
Our aspiration is to create a first-rate news organization that tells the stories of Baltimore and its people and strengthens our communities, and as well as holding our leaders to account.
So tell me more about what someone interested in news will find. This will be a website, right? You're not going to print a paper.
No, we won't have a printed paper, but our aspiration is to make it a multimedia platform with audio, video, newsletters, podcasts, radio perhaps as well. And, you know, we want to deliver the news on the platforms where people of different generations read it. So that's, you know, website, phone, you know, all the way across the platform.
Will the content be behind a paywall?
Yes. Yes, at some point there may be a few free articles, but there will be a paywall. Yeah, for sure, because this has to be subscription driven to become self-sustaining.
Subscription driven, but it's a nonprofit. I mean, in Maryland, when you say news and nonprofit, people are more familiar with asking viewers or listeners or readers to donate rather than subscribe. So talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, whether you call it a subscription or a required membership, it's still revenue. And look, our goal here is to create a self-sustaining business model that can be replicated in communities across the country. And we want to start here in Baltimore and just create a model that will be emulated. We're not going to invest beyond Baltimore, but that could be emulated across the country. And just to make it not for profit with just contributions from foundations and wealthy folks is not going to make it self-sustaining. We want to create news that people want to pay for. And if they're not willing to pay for it, then this is not going to work. And so all of this starts with the reader. What do the readers want? What are they willing to pay for? And that's what we want to deliver. And we want to be very good at listening to and understanding our readers and what they want. It all starts right there.
Tell me about the editor-in-chief you just hired, Kimmy Yoshino.
Well, we were looking for somebody, an experienced journalist with very high standards, able to attract great reporters, and able to lead a diverse newsroom. Both age-wise and race-wise, and she shares our vision that this needs to be self-sustaining. She's willing to experiment, and that's what's required here. If we're not willing to experiment and be willing to fail different experiments, this won't succeed, because there's no map for making a local digital online news site financially stable and sustainable. And so we have to experiment to figure out what works and what doesn't work. And most of our experiments are going to fail. The ones that do not fail, we want to double and triple down on and leverage. Even though she comes out of a legacy newspaper.
She has been 21 years at the Los Angeles Times. She's now the managing editor there.
Right. You know, this is a startup we have. And Kimmy comes out of a legacy paper, And that's different from a startup. Weir thinks she will fit the startup very well because she's able to think out, she clearly thinks out of the box and is willing to experiment and try different approaches that will meet people where they want their news delivered. And is thinking always about what kinds of news do people want? What kinds of local news? So we don't think this is going to be a problem, the fact that she comes out of a legacy newspaper.
That's hotel magnate Stuart Bainum Jr. on the record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking about the Baltimore Banner, the multimedia online nonprofit news platform he's launching. Imtiaz Patel, a veteran of the Wall Street Journal, will be your CEO and publisher. You've been working with him for months. So how much of the top leadership team is in place, and when do you expect to launch?
Yeah, Imtiaz and I have been working together since July of 2020. He was a consultant helping educate me on this space, which I have no experience in, local news space. And we brought in a chief marketing officer, a chief product of, and the chief marketing officer also was with Dow Jones for a number of years as a senior marketing executive, a chief product officer who was the chief product officer for Fortune magazine, a chief technology officer, a director of social media. We're about to bring in a chief human resources officer, et cetera. So we're putting the team together and envision having about probably 50 journalists in the next year, and probably about 25 or 30 on the business side. And we want to locate this in the central business district of the city of Baltimore, in the part of the city where, you know, there's where it needs some rejuvenation.
You're talking about full-time journalists.
Yes, full-time.
Not freelancers.
Not freelancers, although there may be some. It may evolve to the point where we have some freelancers in addition to what we hope to start with, around 50.
I want to get back to revenue. Do you expect more revenue from subscriptions, from donations, or from advertising?
Yeah, the way we have our projection, about 50% will come from subscriptions, and about 30% from sponsorships or advertisers, basically, and then a smaller amount from events, and then about 15% from contributions. I mean, we call that self-sustaining. If we can get to 80-85% of its costs, with the other 10 or 15% or 15 to 20% coming from donations.
How many subscribers would you need to be successful?
Well, we can break even with about 75,000 digital subscribers as per our projection. 100,000 gives us more comfort. So the goal is 100,000 in the next 4 years.
What kind of reaction are you getting from potential partners?
We haven't really reached out to too many potential partners. We had enough on our plate to get this far this quickly. The Lenfest Institute in Philadelphia has been first rate. They're a strategic supporter of ours.
Am I right that they are the nonprofit that that publishes the Philadelphia Inquirer?
Yeah, they own the Philadelphia Inquirer through a public benefit corporation. It's a for-profit entity. The Philadelphia Inquirer actually is a public benefit corporation. Ours is a public charity, a little different. But no, they've been very helpful, their institute. And from the get-go, beginning almost a year ago, they've been supportive. And then also Michael Bloomberg and his team have been very open and supportive strategically. They've connected us with all kinds of people. They've made their people available to us. He's probably the greatest media entrepreneur of our generation.
We need to take a short break here in our conversation with businessman Stuart Bainham Jr., chairman of the board of the yet-to-launch local news site, The Baltimore Banner. When we're back, why is he doing this? I'm Sheila Cass. Stay tuned.
This is the On the Record podcast, a service of Your Public Radio, member-supported 88.1 WYPR. You can support this podcast and everything you hear from WYPR. Become a member. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link.
Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. Banner is a big word around Baltimore. There was that huge star-spangled banner waving over the plucky American troops at Fort McHenry in 1814. And Baltimore Banner is what the Journalists Union in 1965 called the paper they put out for a month while on strike against the Baltimore Sun, the Evening Sun, and the News American. And now, the Baltimore Banner is the name Stuart Bainham Jr. is giving the all-digital news platform he's launching as a nonprofit to compete with The Sun. Stuart Bainham, why did you choose that name, The Baltimore Banner?
Well, you know, it takes its name from the Star-Spangled Banner that stood through the night there at Baltimore's Fort McHenry during the War of 1812. I guess it was the Battle of 1814. And so we, you know, Ted Venatoulis and Taylor Branch first suggested the name.
Ted Venatoulis, the former Baltimore County executive who died earlier this month, and Taylor Branch, the historian, the writer.
Right. So we intend to carry the banner of Baltimore's tradition of great local news into the future. I mean, Baltimore journalism is punched above its weight for decades and decades.
Okay, but you are not a Baltimore guy. You were raised in Tacoma Park. You live in Montgomery County. Why are you so focused on Baltimore?
Well, Baltimore is the most important city in my home state. And again, with a history of remarkable journalism. And Baltimore is a microcosm of urban America, with the challenges and opportunities that urban America has. Downtown Baltimore is struggling. We want to create jobs there in the first year, probably like 100 jobs in the first year is our aspiration. And it's also Baltimore's demographically diverse, including communities that are disenfranchised, and local journalism can strengthen those communities. And that's our aspiration. And we think if we can build a sustainable business model in the Baltimore area, that will be replicated across the country. I mean, one thing I learned during our attempt to acquire Tribune Publishing was that there's families in, you know, the Fort Lauderdale area, Orlando, Allentown, Pennsylvania, Hartford, Connecticut, that were really serious about stepping up. I mean, we soft circle. They were going to buy these newspapers if we were able to buy Tribune, a publishing company. And so there's families out there that will take a risk if there's a map, if there's some kind of a map to get this self-sustaining to the extent of 80, 85% of the cost.
About four decades ago, you represented a Montgomery district for 8 years in the Maryland legislature, one term in the House on the Ways and Means Committee and one term in the Senate on the Budget and Tax Committee. Is that why local coverage is so important to you?
Yeah, I mean, in the General Assembly, when I was there, there were six daily papers of significance covering the 90-day General Assembly session. And you know, I mean, you had the Evening Star, the Washington Post, you had the Capital Gazette, and the Evening Sun, the Baltimore Sun, the News American, and there was other papers too, Christ, Eastern Star, Democrat, and so forth. And you know, now, so that was six main papers with a lot of reporters. Now there's two papers that cover it, the Post and the Sun. And so there's a lot, and with a lot fewer reporters each too. So there's a lot less transparency. And there was shenanigans going on back then, and you know they're still going on, but they're less discovered than they were before. So yeah, it's not in the public's interest to have such little coverage of a public body like the state legislature. And that's not counting the local, the county councils, the city council in Baltimore, and the mayor's office and so forth. Not to mention the liquor board, the local liquor board, and the local zoning board.
I get the impression you expect coverage of local government to be a big part of what the Baltimore Banner will cover.
Yeah, I mean, one of the goals is to hold our leaders to account, but also tell the good stories about folks that are doing a great job in their leadership as well.
This is On the Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cass speaking with businessman Stuart Bainham Jr. about the digital news operation he's setting up under the nonprofit he chairs, the Venatulis Institute for Local Journalism. For the purpose of the banner's coverage, what are you defining as Baltimore? Is it the city? Is it the city and the county?
It's the Baltimore region. There's about 2.7 million people in the draw areas, what our research shows, and you know that's the metro area of the city, and it's, you know, these jurisdictional lines are a bit arbitrary. I mean, it's one metro area, all the people live together in the same area, and it's important that, you know, stories on one side of town are understood by folks on the other side of town, and that creates understanding and empathy and more of a community.
Why not a statewide news hub?
Well, I mean, that would be the aspiration over time. But if we can get to 100 journalists at 100,000 subscriptions, you're self-sustaining. And then because it's a platform, because you're not printing and delivering papers, you don't have the fixed costs that a legacy paper would have. So you have an additional subscription. If you can go statewide, it becomes much more financially sustainable, and you can just invest all that excess cash flow into the newsroom and grow the newsroom. That's the fantasy here, and hopefully we can live that out.
Until recently, you were calling the nonprofit that will be the umbrella the Sunlight for All Institute, which I took to be a play on the light for all in the sun's masthead. Now the nonprofit is the Venatulis Institute for Local Journalism. Because?
Well, Ted, to a very large extent, was the inspiration for what we're doing. And he came at me in June of 2015 trying to get me to help him fund an online not-for-profit news site in Baltimore. And he'd already been working at that point for over a decade trying to get to save the Sun, to buy it and then save it. And then he couldn't do that, so he wanted to come up with an online news site as an alternative. And I turned him down, but then I went back to him 5 years later in June of 2020 and said, yeah, this makes a hell of a lot of sense, because I watched from the sideline for the intervening 5 years and could see the decline across the country of local news and what it seemed to be doing to our communities and our democracy. And so I was a Johnny come late to this, and it was his idea to begin with. And so we worked on this together for most of the last year and a half. And so he was the inspiration for this. And then he passed away suddenly. And hell, I mean, we were talked every day for the last year and a half. And it was a blow to what we're doing. And I just thought we should change the name to the Venatulis Institute.
If you are focusing on local news, isn't your competition more from local TV stations than from the Baltimore Sun newspaper?
Well, we don't see it as competition, really. I mean, local news is an ecosystem, and there's so many stories that are not being reported throughout the Baltimore region that should be reported, that there's no competition here. But the more that the TV and the radio report and that our site reports and the Sun reports, et cetera, the better. I mean, that's why we're in this, because it's declined.
Do you expect the Sun to go out of business?
I hope not. I really hope not. And if it does, you know, it's going to be a tough for the Baltimore area, because it's been, you know, it's been the paper record for the state for so long. And has that storied history and some great, many, many great journalists there that are doing great work despite some of the obstacles in their path. So a lot of this, you know, business organizations, a lot of this starts with who the owners are and who the leaders are. And so I don't know what the vision is, the leadership and the ownership of the Sun. But that will determine to a large extent the future of the Sun, as it will the Baltimore Banner, as it will WYPR, et cetera, et cetera.
So 3 years from now, say, what would you consider a success? How would you define success?
I'd consider it a success to have in 3.5 years a newsroom of 75 full-time journalists, about 75,000 subscribers, and paying subscribers. That would be a success, cranking out journalism that helps improve the lives of people in Baltimore, and that is reflective of the diversity of the metro area of Baltimore. That would be a success. And I think and at that point, I would view it as a starting point to go from there. Because if you get to that point, you're going to be able to become financially successful and maybe not need any contributions from the local community going forward. And you can build this out statewide. But you have to think in terms of a multimedia platform, because people receive their news in different ways, and we want to deliver it where they're going to read it. And those habits change over time, so we have to stay tuned to be sensitive to how those habits are evolving.
I really thank you for taking time to tell us about the Baltimore Banner. Good luck.
Thank you, Sheila. Nice you to have me.
Stuart Bainham Jr., chairman of Choice Hotels International, also chairs the Venatulis Institute for Local Journalism. It plans to launch next year an all-digital platform for news about the Baltimore region. We've got links to more coverage at the On the Record page at WYPR.org. Also there, a link to the Venatulis Institute. I'm Sheila Katz. Glad you're with us on the record. Come back tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks.